The American Farm Bureau Federation gathered for its annual convention in Anaheim, California in January with a substantial delegation from Utah. It included Utah Farm Bureau leadership along with state officials and members from all over Utah, some who had earned the right to be there by winning Young Farmer and Rancher Awards at the Utah Farm Bureau Convention in November. Welcome to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow, the Utah Farm Bureau podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. Attendees from Utah talked about the positive impact of meeting with farmers and leaders in agriculture from all over the country. They included the commissioner of the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food, Kelly Pearson.
There is many topics that Utah is dealing with that's on a national level. The cost of inputs, waters of the U.S., things like that are being tackled here at the American Farm Bureau. That's why I came.
The president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, Zippy Duvall from Georgia, talked with the delegation about issues affecting Utah and the West.
Our knowledge about the issues out here are a lot better than it used to be at American Farm Bureau. And I've tried to bring no differences between the region when it comes to the work and the passion that we put into speaking for the farmer and rancher.
For several young farmers and ranchers from Utah, the convention was an opportunity to meet their peers from many other states and compete at a national level.
I really got to just sit up there and talk ag topics, which I absolutely love, with people from all different walks of life and all different ag experiences, and that to me is what makes this so fun.
And with Utah's legislative session getting underway, Farm Bureau leadership had a conversation about what's on their agenda for this year.
We're going to be talking about water. Seems to be one of our top topics in the state. Other one is challenges dealing with the growth and how to balance that growth and provide for our citizens and make it so we can have a high quality of life.
Utah's Commissioner of Agriculture and Food, Kelly Pearson, came to the American Farm Bureau Convention at the invitation of Utah Farm Bureau leadership and says he was pleased to meet so many people from different regions of the country who were dealing with issues similar to farmers and ranchers in Utah.
Yeah, it's different and a little different in every state, but there is many topics that Utah is dealing with that's on a national level. The cost of inputs, waters of the U.S., things like that are being tackled here at the American Farm Bureau. That's why I came. I wanted to hear from the farmers at Farm Bureau of how they want us to help them overcome some of these issues. And it was awesome to hear Secretary Rollins talk about that's her top priority, is to tackle the cost of input. So been a great experience for me as the Commissioner of Ag to be here and learn from Farm Bureau and other farmers that actually these policies affect.
Do you have any concerns where the interests of agriculture in Utah might not be the same as other states across the country?
Not at all. I think everyone's in it together, as you can see them. Farmers help each other, even though some might not know what public land issues are. I think they all want to work together and help each other be successful. We're losing so many farms already with just different types of issues. I feel like if you're in one side of the country, and you're here to help each other, and that's what I'm seeing at this conference, is just having how they interact with each other and want to help them all succeed. I want everyone to stay in farming.
With the legislative session coming up, are there any things that you're watching that you're particularly concerned about?
Just the budget, honestly. As a cabinet member, we've been told that we're looking at a 5% reduction to our budget. We're prepared for that, and we're just going to be trying to fight for the programs that make sense, that help the farmers. We have a lot of great programs at the Department of Ag that I feel are very successful, and we'll just be fighting for those budget items to continue to lead to be funded this session as well.
What do you think the most difficult issues that Ag in Utah is facing? You talk about keeping farmers in business.
Water. This, as you know, we're having a terrible winter. and water is the hot topic. I wish it changes the tone of the legislative season. So we'll be looking at a lot of water bills this year. Hopefully people don't do knee-jerk reactions and do bills that just don't make sense. So with my partnership with the department, with Farm Bureau, we'll be looking at those bills as they come. And also the cost to deliver their goods. I mean, it's expensive. The inputs are expensive, and trying to get their product to the market is very expensive. So we'll be like tackling those items, just like they're doing here at the national conference.
Farmers who grow alfalfa in Utah are facing a couple of issues. One is competition for water resources, but another is the difficulty now of exporting their products. Are you addressing those?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to get that more into different programs. I know it's not being tackled in the bridge loans with the Secretary Rollins and USDA, but it's definitely a hot topic in Utah to see the cost of alfalfa so down. We will definitely be looking at that and finding ways for them to get their product to different markets. And with our marketing team, we're always looking for new markets for our farmers.
All right. Finally, your overall impression of your work with Utah Farm Bureau, how helpful are they to the overall effort to improve and benefit agriculture in Utah?
I mean, that's very simple. We have to be together, hand in hand, to help with these issues. And I feel like my relationship with farm bureaus, with wool growers, with cattlemen's is exactly where it needs to be. We got to tackle these issues together. Sometimes we do eat our own and fight against each other, but we can't do that. It's just such a sensitive market, and a lot of farms are being lost that we have to work together. And I think all of our organizations are doing very well on tackling things together.
Zippy Duval has been president of the American Farm Bureau Federation since 2016. He was just reelected to that position at the Anaheim Convention. Val J. Rigby is president of the Utah Farm Bureau and was also elected as a member of the National Board of Directors. They sat down to talk about agriculture across the country and regional issues in the West.
It's been really refreshing, you know, as we work with the American Farm Bureau, and especially President Duval, that they really care about, you know, the things that affect us and grazing and everything that goes along with our public lands. And it's been fun, as you know, over the years as we get to talk and work together and teach them about what it means to, you know, for an AUM for a Western livestock producer and why that's important and all these terms we use in agriculture and in our range management. So, and they've been great partners. You know, we have a great relationship with the American Farm Bureau.
President Duval, you don't get out here to the West perhaps as often as you might like.
Well, I don't, but I'll tell you, when I became president and my first couple of trips out here, I realized that after having been on board almost 10 years, I still hadn't learned a lot about Western agriculture. So I made it my desire to try to heighten the discussion time that we have about Western issues. And I think if you talk to previous presidents and compare it to where we are today, our knowledge about the issues out here are a lot better than it used to be at American Farm Bureau. And I've tried to bring no differences between the region when it comes to the work and the passion that we put into to speaking for the farmer and rancher.
Now, you've had to focus a little bit on exports as an issue. Farmers who export soybeans have been getting a lot of attention. In Utah, we have farmers that export hay. Do you try to build those export markets for those farmers that are using them?
We work on all commodities, including alfalfa hay. But, you know, one of the big things that we worked on was when they had the limitations on the amount of containers that was coming here and the difficulties our hay producers out here and some of the other production of other commodities having enough containers and getting them out to the rest of the world. So, you know, there are issues that affect a lot of commodities out here in the West that we've worked on.
Val J., what do you hear from your members about export issues such as alfalfa?
One of the big issues that we all face is the cost of transportation, just being able to get our goods to market, you know, wherever that market is. And so, you know, recently a lot of the initiatives we've been working on, lowering, anytime we can lower the cost of fuel, it makes a big difference as far as being able to ship products. And so that's something that American Farm Bureau has been working on. They've been talking to the White House about what those costs do and those costs, because those are an input cost going into what it takes to produce that product. And those things help us access to those markets. You know, President Duvall, you know, as we had meetings in July, he had to leave our meetings to go into the White House and meet with the president. And those are the things. The trade is what the big, if I remember him telling us right, that was one of the big things they talked about in that visit. So we've appreciated that leadership.
Well, President Duvall, you don't agree with President Trump on every item on the agenda, but how do you feel he's supporting agriculture in the United States?
Well, if you compare this president with other presidents, we've had tremendous exposure to this administration. We normally have a good level of communication between ourselves and administrations, but they've been over and above and been open to us to come in and give our viewpoint from our farmers and ranchers. And I think that when you have a president that stands up and says he loves his farmers and we got to protect agriculture, that's really important to our people. You know, I've had other people that worked on staff of other presidents, and they jockey real hard, try to get the president to just mention agriculture in some of their speeches, and they'll have it in there, and then it gets pulled out at the last minute. But this president's not shy about talking about his love for farming.
One area where you may have disagreed with the president is on what should be done to keep farm labor strong and make sure that people who want to come to this country and work on farms have the opportunity to do that. Where do you think that issue stands?
So we don't actually disagree. We agree on a lot of things around the labor issue, but how to get there is where we might disagree. So how far we can go with it. Because we know from the farmer point of view exactly what the difficulties are. Just like the current H-2A program only has for seasonal workers, and we need year-round workers in a lot of places in a lot of commodities. You know, he understands that there's a lot of undocumented workers on our farms, and he would like to find a solution to that. And I think at some period of time in the near future, we'll be able to speak to that, and hopefully we can find a place that him and his administration can settle on that issue itself. So we'll continue to work with him. So trying to find a pathway that both sides of the aisle would be acceptable to is the difficulty.
Val Jay, cows don't stop giving milk in the winter. I've heard that.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And so are you in a spot where getting appropriate staffing in your operation is difficult?
Yeah, you know, one of our top issues in Utah is labor, and we've heard Secretary Rollins recently say that that's one of her top priorities, is to solve this labor issue, because, you know, it's really concerning if you have a product ready to harvest, or if you got cows that you need milked, and you don't have people to do that work. And so, and that's across the country in most of our industries, especially in Utah, we see that challenge.
Secretary Rollins talked about grazing, too. Are you pleased to see what's happening there on the federal level?
Yeah, you know, exciting recently that the Forest Service announced a partnership with the state of Utah. And it's really to manage our forest lands and allow the state to provide expertise and personnel and lots of other things, so we can manage those and manage how those forests and those wood products are treated, and the forest health they're taken care of. And we feel like that partnership is going to be really beneficial to the state and to our grazers here for now and for the next 20 years, that it'll be a really good thing, and we can have a good model of that cooperation.
Now, President Duvall, what do you think the American Farm Bureau offers to people watching your organization across the country who may not be involved in agriculture? What do they look to you for leadership on public policy?
Well, you know, when we work on policy, yes, it is focused on agriculture, but a lot of the policies and regulations that we deal with not only affect agriculture, they may affect the transportation, it may affect like waters of the U.S., it may even affect people's yards if they even don't have one acre. A lot of people don't even know that the old waters of the U.S. rule, if it carried water one time, even in a hard rain, it could be declared as waters of the U.S., and you wouldn't be able to even mow the grass over it if they really enforced it. So there are so many areas that we are involved in that is really focused on agriculture, but it also affects the regular American out there too. You know, even the farm bill. Look at the farm bill. You think it's a farm bill and it helps farmers, but it does so much more. I mean, there's so much more that goes into its rural development, its research and development that helps us produce more food with less effort, less water, less everything. And that's beneficial to the regular consumer out there. It's not even a farmer. So the more we can communicate that to the American people, the more they actually want to be supporters of our organization.
You're listening to Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow. We'll be back in just a moment with our young farmers and ranchers and a look at the current session of the Utah Legislature.
Attention, Utah Farm Bureau members. We've teamed up with Benefit Hub to bring you a bigger and better benefits platform. Now you'll get access to all your favorite Farm Bureau discounts, plus thousands more. From shopping and dining to travel and entertainment at over a million locations, locally, nationally, and internationally. Getting started is easy. Download the new app, explore the savings, and start enjoying more for less. Visit utahfarmbureau.org/member-benefits to learn more. Your membership just got even more rewarding.
The Utah delegation to the American Farm Bureau Convention included young farmers and ranchers who won awards at the Utah Farm Bureau Convention and moved on to national competition. They included Caitlin Hepworth of Payson, who advanced to the Sweet 16 in the national discussion meet, and Easton and Josie Harris, who won the Utah Farm Bureau Achievement Award. They operate a sod farm in Richfield.
So we actually applied for, this is our third year that we applied. Our first year that we were able to place and actually be able to move on. So that was kind of a cool experience for us.
The convention's wrapping up now, and you are you've been able to participate. What's your impression?
It's been a really good experience to even just go through the application and to be able to win at the state level and to move on.
And then to connect with the other applicants that are here from other states and see the struggles that they've faced and how they've overcame that and the different and unique ways that they've represented ag in their own states, and bringing that all together to try and keep moving things forward has been really cool to see from other perspectives.
Caitlin, what prompted you to participate?
I was really encouraged by our County Farm Bureau Board. We have amazing support for the YF&R programs in Utah County, which gave me the confidence to try to compete at the state level. I participated once about 5 years ago and decided that this would be a good opportunity to try again.
What did you think of the opportunity to participate with the national convention?
Oh, national is on a whole nother level, of course, right? We love our county and we love our state, but getting to come and compete on a national stage with people from all across the country, discussion meet is interesting. I really got to just sit up there and talk ag topics, which I absolutely love, with people from all different walks of life and all different ag experiences. And that, to me, is what makes this so fun.
What are the ag topics that you brought forward that you think are most significant?
I think any ag topic is significant because ag as a whole is so diverse, but when any part of ag succeeds, all of ag succeeds. One of my favorite topics that I got to discuss, though, during the competition was succession planning. honestly, it's a really fun, unique topic because it's something that is so important to the future of agriculture as a whole. And succession planning is something that we as YFNR can champion moving forward. I think that it was a really great conversation. It was a interesting, intense group of people, but it made for a very unique experience here. And I'm really grateful I had the opportunity to compete at that Sweet 16 level as well.
What topics do you think are most important that perhaps folks who are not in the farming business need to hear about?
So kind of what's important on our level is we're a very specialty crop. And so one of the topics that we think is most important is the agriculture standing together as a whole, regardless of what your commodity is, regardless of what it is that you do for agriculture. Standing together as a team is how we're actually able to get things done and actually able to reach out to our state legislators and our national legislators and our county representatives to be able to actually be able to get things accomplished and to be able to keep ag moving forward.
And also supporting the little guy, supporting the people who are maybe not directly involved in ag or involved in a very small way. All of them have to work together in order to move forward for the country as a whole.
Heather Thompson from Utah County also participated in the convention, talking about her work with youth in 4-H and other programs. And she's this year's winner of Utah Farm Bureau's Excellence in Agriculture Award. Finally, as they prepared to come home, leaders of the Utah Farm Bureau sat down to talk about the legislative session. The roundtable discussion included CEO Spencer Gibbons, as well as Wade Garrett, Vice President of Advocacy and Strategic Relationships, Terry Camp, Vice President of Public Policy, and President Val J. Rigby.
A couple of the priorities and the challenges we see in this legislative session is we're going to be talking about water. Seems to be one of our top topics in the state. Other one is challenges dealing with the growth and how to balance that growth and provide for our citizens and make it so we can have a high quality of life.
Terry, individual bills, are there any that come to mind that you want to see pass or not as the session begins?
So one of the bills we've been working on in the legislative interim is House Bill 63, sponsored by Representative Scott Chu. And this bill will kind of create a tailored process for livestock producers to claim and regulate water rights within watershed boundaries. We have producers throughout the state that rely on different types of water claims. We have producers, for example, in Kane County that have in catchments where they collect rainwater and other precipitation, and being able to have water rights that they can feed their livestock is a really important thing, and this bill will help those types of producers. There's another bill, House Bill 60, Water Rights Amendments. This is a Representative Schallenberger bill, and it will propose changes to clarify or modify some of our water rights laws, how they're administered and interpreted in Utah. Both of these bills are important and valuable to just have clarity and certainty in our law.
And Wade, I know you work on funding issues a great deal. What are some of those that you're concerned about this time through?
Well, we've had funding over the years for conservation easements, which are really important. We've got $1 million ongoing, but as you can imagine with land prices, that doesn't cover a lot. So we're always looking at enhancing that. On a tough budget year, that may be a hard thing to do. Always looking for funding for water and water resource stuff, developing water efficiencies. Those are important things. And then we're working on the FFA, taking care of that, making sure that we're educating young folks in the agriculture coming forward. And that all takes money, very important programs. And we're looking at funding several of those things. It will be a tough budget year. So we're also looking where we can help Utah Department of Agriculture and Foods be wise with resources, get the best use of them, and how we partner with them and others to make the most of the resources we're given.
Spencer, are there issues coming up that concern you that you perhaps want to see not happen?
We've kind of seen not a lot of snow happen, fall in Utah in the last little while. And December and January are times where we should see a lot of snow. So I think that with the lack of snowpack, we do worry about our legislative body wanting to fix things as it relates to water. I think there are some good bills, and I actually really appreciate there's some good bills coming where a lot of stakeholders have been able to have influence, and I think our legislators have listened, and there's going to be some opportunity that will help help the farmers maybe just take the target off their back to a certain degree.
As people look toward preserving the Great Salt Lake, for example?
Correct. Yeah. Of course, we're trying to come up with solutions that protect the lake, that everybody that lives around it can have a high quality of life, and they don't have to worry about all of the things that could potentially happen. But you know, we're constantly watching to try to guard against maybe knee-jerk reactions as it relates to, you know, a lot of the emotional side of what the lake stirs up in people.
Valjay, do you think the people of Utah are getting perhaps a better consciousness of water issues because of the focus on preserving the lake?
Yeah, we hope that people seem to pay attention. We see, you know, anytime we see it in the media, seems like people comment back to us, and so we hope that they're listening and paying attention. You know, sometimes you worry that you may oversaturate them, but right now folks seem to react to, you know, when it hits the news or when there's something happening at the legislature. So I think that's good that people are paying attention.
One other funding item that we're interested in helping get across the finish line is some additional funding for the Rural Business and Agricultural E-commerce Accelerator through Utah State University. They have had really good success in helping to get agricultural businesses online and get them websites, get them selling some things direct to consumers. They've completed 50 different projects. They have 36 different sites generating revenue already, have already brought in over $1 million in new revenue, and they have a queue of 88 businesses and farms waiting to get websites. We've had some of our members, including our Vice President Tyson Roberts, who was able to build a new website for his family's farm, and they sell popcorn and things online. So it's a really neat program, and we're hoping the legislature will provide some additional funding for it.
The other concerns that you have going into the legislative session, the state of Utah is becoming known as a focus for data centers. We have some big ones here, and more are coming. Is that an issue for farmers because they do use water?
Yeah, I mean, anything that competes for our precious water resources could be problematic to agriculture. As each one of these come, we get told they use way less water. We're told a lot of things, but until we see them, you don't know. And these data centers seem to have become very important, but they could be competing both for ag land and ag water. And as you know, a lot of the land in Utah, over 70%, is owned by a government resource. So we've only got 30% of the land that can have anything placed on it. And if you've drove down the Wasatch Front recently, you know how congested that's become. And as these new companies come in and bring congestion, they also bring homes, other things that could affect agriculture in Utah. And I think one of the things I would like folks to know is we still need to grow food in this country somewhere. And that's becoming more difficult. And as we compete for the resources in the state, and I don't like to use the word compete, but it feels like that's what you're doing. It becomes important that we remember the importance of growing food and fiber and fuel for the country.
Cows, Plows, and Things That Grow is the podcast service of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation. Our mission is to inspire all Utah families to connect, succeed, and grow through the miracle of agriculture. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.